136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit on your white bulletin insert. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I heard the voice of a great multitude saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I heard the voice of a great multitude saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God of
Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father.
Implore you mercifully to receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after the Epiphany is from the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. Then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said that he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual.
Blessed be the Lord God, the Father of Israel, who opened us wondrous things. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills righteousness.
The epistles from the 12th chapter of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with
gladness. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our God, in
Our sermon text is from Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus' parents are diligently performing their God-given duties. Joseph and Mary are taking their son to the temple for the Passover feast in accordance with the scriptural requirement. Now, unbeknownst to them, Joseph assumes that Jesus is with them. And Jesus assumes that his parents are actually leaving him behind in Jerusalem. I mean, this was his 12-year-old Passover, and thus he was considered to be a man by society. He has learned from his parents, but now he assumes that he is to begin his study under the teachers in the temple, and thus he stays. But they left. And 3 days later, when Mary expresses shock at finding him in the temple, Jesus holds up his desire to do his God-given duty. He says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He was doing his duty. Jesus was not procrastinating. He was not playing hooky. He was not doing things that he shouldn't do. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, was sent here for a purpose. And Jesus was doing his Father's business by studying the Word. Now the world thinks that God is pleased by mere outward performance of man's actions. Now just do what he says, that's all. But we know that our God desires something more than just outward actions. Something much deeper. He desires a change of the heart. Without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible to please him. And thus, he desires, as Luther says, that we fear and love God so that we desire to keep the commandments. Yes, that's what God desires, faith. Faith in the heart. When it comes to outward performance, the Pharisee far exceeded the performance of the tax collector. But we know that the tax collector went home justified rather than the Pharisee. So concerning this duty that we have, how are we to proceed as we go about the performance of our God-given duties? Today's epistle from Romans 12 directs us, saying this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So our God does desire our duties, our sacrifice, our God-given sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice that is done with not just spiritual kind of thinking or so. It's bodily sacrifices. It's outward actions that are desired. How are we to perform these bodily sacrifices which we are to make as Christians? Well, there are some who would motivate these bodily actions, our duties that we do. They would motivate it by the law. Threats of punishment can be a deterrent to sin. You see, I don't want to pay a fine, or I don't want to get a spanking. And the promises of reward, that's also law motivation, the promises of a reward can also be a motivator to do the right thing. I would like to get a trophy, and I would like to have a good reputation before others. However, once again, the Pharisee was highly motivated by the law. and he performed quite highly concerning it. But he was not accepted before God. We usually would consider peer pressure, what others to say, as simply law motivation, and that is true. It has punishments from the disapproval of our peers or the promises of reward by the approval of it. We also have the repeated use of the law, kind of a beating of the law. It could come from the pulpit, where you continue to tell people to do this, to do this, to do this, and it will spur some to action. But the performance is always short-lived. When the stick of the law is taken away, the action usually goes away. We've also seen things like WWJD, what would Jesus do, as kind of a law example, because Jesus and himself then is turned into an example. And then his life then becomes a kind of Ten Commandments. Look what Jesus did. He kept the law, and so his life becomes law, and we must follow it. And so Jesus' life then kind of beats us up with the law. Schedules like 40 days of purpose. Well-intentioned, but law efforts to try to get people to perform and to do something. Now, the real crux of all of these actions is not that it is law, and as I've already mentioned, it's not high performance or low performance. That's not the issue either. The real crux of all these actions is that it comes down to getting man to fulfill his vow. In other words, promises to do better. Commit to a plan, then keep it. Strive harder. Similarly, in Lutheran circles, we speak about confirmation, and it usually is about our confirmation vow, and so it becomes an attempt to try to motivate us to, well, do what we said we would do. You promised. The problem, again, is not so much the law, but that we become the source and the power for the completion of it. It is our vow, our striving, our promising that does it. St. Paul, in today's epistle, Romans 12, makes it quite clear that he's not simply speaking of outward actions which come from our dedication or our vow-keeping. Here's what St. Paul says. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of the mind. He's speaking about faith. He's speaking about faith, which then changes things, not simply your decision to do something. Now, in response, when we hear Paul speak of these ways, which we know, of course there must be faith which produces then fear and love God so that we do it. Our response might be that we only want to do good works then when it comes from the right motivation of the heart. Well, if that's what God desires, then I'll only do good works when I feel like it. And how well do you think that works? Do we simply sit around and wait for the Spirit to move us? It would seem to be a kind of fatalistic way of tempting God. I'm not moving unless you get me out of this easy chair of sinful inaction. But that is not where we're left. You see, as Lutherans, we do speak of gospel motivation as opposed to law motivation. We do know. We know that the reason, first of all, we know the reason for God's action. His action in saving us. It was the grace and love of his heart. John 3:16. We know it. For God so loved the world. Why did he do what he did? His graciousness and his love. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was his love. which God had for us. And His love is unparalleled to any of our love. John 15:13 speaks of it this way: greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. So the Father sends His Son, and His Son lays down His life for us, though we were still His enemies. And He does it to win us back. His love knows no bounds. And so we see His love for us. And then, when it comes to us, we are directed, according to the Scriptures, to use God's love in order to bring forth our love in doing good works. Listen to the way it speaks. John 15, 9 through 13 says it this way: as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So our love is to come from His love. And that love towards God, well, how do we do this love towards God? What is that about? Well, it's be to directed toward a heartfelt keeping of the commandments. That is God's will. 2 John 6 says, this is love, that you walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Or John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So His love motivates our love, and our love is to desire to keep the commandments. But how does this work? How does this work? When we see that we have failed to keep the law, we don't make further promises to get it right the next time. We don't make more promises to do what we didn't do. Instead, we confess our sins. Yes, we confess that we have a rotten, sinful nature, that we have refused to love as we should, that our neighbor needed our love and we sat in that easy chair of inactivity and our heart was unconcerned. We ought to speak to God about our sinful nature, about our lack of love. And then we are to listen to God's promises, which speak about His great love and forgiveness for those very sins that we have. You see, we have been freely forgiven. The problem with the Pharisee was that he sought to please God by means of his actions. No, we have already been made a child of God through our baptism into Christ. We have already been accepted because of God's gracious love for us. Now we seek to love God out of thanksgiving. We seek to love our neighbor because we are already forgiven. So, yes, you confess your sins. Then you know that Christ has forgiven you and you have the gospel that He has given. So, we're still not there yet. Now what? Do we sit around and wait until we get that loving feeling? No, not at all. We know that our sinful nature is not going to change. We have already been given a new heart in our baptism. And so then, let us use God's forgiveness in order to force that old Adam in us to do what is right. Whether he wants to do it or not, get up and go love your neighbor. We confess that we of ourselves, we don't have the proper attitude. We don't have the proper love of God, nor do we wish to love our neighbor as we should. However, through the gospel, we do have God's love for us, and that is enough. Is it bad to use a schedule? A schedule? No. You mean a schedule like the Lutheran Herald, where you would have a devotion each day, or a schedule like our family daily prayers, in which there are reading schedules and things of that? No. the baptized children of God do use the law. We use the law in order to force our old Adam to read the scriptures. Will it change him? No. But in the end, you will find that the law will reveal your sins, and once it reveals your sins, you can confess it and trust in the gospel message of your forgiveness. Should you make a commitment to do your duty as a baptized child of God? Sure, if you want to, if you so desire, but we don't trust in our vows, even if it is a confirmation vow, we don't trust in our promise. We don't look to that as the source or the power, because it is the gospel that there's a power of God given for the sanctification of our lives. What is most important is not our devotion, but it is God's gift in holy baptism. If our vow leads us back to God because it shows that we can't keep it, well, then so be it. God is doing something that can never be undone. Our God made a vow to us in holy baptism and promised to unite us with His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ always did the will of His Father. The Father accepted the Son's work, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And when we are united with Jesus Christ, we get what Jesus gets. We get to receive the blessing of the Father. We receive life everlasting. We receive a resurrection of the dead. We get to hear the Father say, "You are my Son, and today I have begotten you in your baptism." You see, knowing the forgiveness of sins and the love of God, we can rejoice in our Christian duties, no matter at what level we are able to perform them. We can rejoice that we have the opportunity to live a life of sacrifice. We don't need to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We are to be transformed by our return to the Word of God. Our mind has been renewed. Our work is no longer a drudgery, but it's the freedom that we have been given that we can live under God's blessing. In the church, Paul says, we are members. But because of our baptism, we all form one body in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your God-given duty is, whether it seems important to you or not. In God's eyes, your work is a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. He has changed your heart, and He will bring it forth in joy and thanksgiving. Today, we look at Jesus' action. His action in following His parents back to Nazareth at age 12. He is the one who is the Son of God, and yet He submits to their authority, as He always had, and He returns to Nazareth that He might continue His training where the Father desires Him to be. And from that point on, 18 more years, He is going to be trained before He finally comes to the Jordan River in order to be baptized by John. We go forward, doing our God-given duty, using His law and His gospel, that it might bring forth in us that which is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, Create in Me.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me now away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and the Holy with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, We give you thanks, though we are unworthy because of our sin. We thank you that we are received into the Church of Christ when we believe in your healing word of forgiveness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask that your people would be given a strong faith, a faith grounded in your word, that they would read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. Give all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James and our pastors Michael and Gary, the faith to be faithful servants who declare your Son's words of authority in heaven and on earth. Send your Holy Spirit upon our director, our teachers, and staff that the children will believe your word. Bless the work of Pastor Kent Heimbigner and Charity Lutheran Church in Burleson. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Give all those who have been entrusted with governing, our President Joe, our Vice President Kamala, our Chief Justice John, our Governor JB, our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, and all our judges. Give them the determination to give themselves fully to their duties and responsibilities. Direct and protect our military personnel, those who are scattered throughout the world, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, and those who work in law enforcement, especially Daniel and Alex. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, your compassions never fail. Give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, peace to the sorrowful, and mercy to every soul that is distressed, that they may find in you the help that only you can give them. For our shut-in Carolyn and Norma, for our elderly Violet, for those of various needs, for Kevin, Victor and Marcia, Brad, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Jack, Levi, Jennifer, Laura, Joyce, Mona, Don, and Linda. We ask that you would keep mother and daughter safe, for Jade. We give thanks to you for a birth of Wren Violet to Blake and Danielle, and we ask that you would keep this little girl safe until her baptismal washing. Be with our students as they return to class, with Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord God, by the sudden death of our brother David Tall, you have shown that your thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are your ways our ways. We thank you for the blessings of body and soul which you have bestowed upon the departed, and we pray your comfort upon the members of his family, for Violet and his daughter, those who mourn his death. Remind all of us ever to prepare for your final summons when we will depart and be with Christ in blessedness and glory. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our only mediator and redeemer. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent us your only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Babylon, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God.
Thank you. for he is good.
And his mercy grows forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.